What's up, guys? Welcome back to the podcast. This is episode number 11. Thank you guys so much for sticking around with us through 11 episodes. It's a little milestone. Just every episode that we get, it's just another episode closer to 100.
Right? 100.
Mm-hmm. And today we're joined by George.
Yo.
Mini.
Hi.
And your host, Lalo. I'm not your host today. It's going to be George. But so I'll go ahead and just hand it over to George after this.
All right. So today we got a... It's not going to be anything crazy. But we're going to be talking about some nice Costa Rican coffee. But first, we're going to start out with a little icebreaker.
Sweet.
I always like when people do this one, so that's why I want to bring this one. If you had your own talk show, who would be your first three guests?
Ooh, the first three guests, I would have to say, one, man, probably Kevin Hart. He's so funny. But I feel like he'll take over the conversation at that point, because he's so, like,
alpha. Energetic and
fun. Yeah, I feel like it's a good conversation. I'll start off with that one. Go, Mini. That way I can think of the second one while you're thinking of the first one.
The Jonas Brothers.
That's already three of them? All three in one?
It could be dead person, too.
A dead person, too.
The Jonas Brothers.
Yeah.
Jonas. Why the Jonas Brothers?
I just always...
What would you even talk about with them?
It's my childhood.
Yeah, but what would you talk about?
Yeah, what would be your first question?
It's because, like, hey, what is it like coming back together after 12 years of separating?
Oh. I don't know. I can tell you why.
No, money. I just...
It really is. Like, come on. They want
to... What's your next question? Because that one already got answered.
They were getting low on money. They need to make some more money, so get the Joe Bros back.
I'll just ask for some jokes. I think it's because it would be easy, because, like, when I was younger, I knew a whole bunch of, like, information about them.
Yeah.
So
put it to use. Might as well put it to you. That's good. Hey, George?
The first one that I want to interview would be... Probably be like one of the first people who went to the moon. Like Buzz Aldrin or something like that.
See if it's true.
Mm. What do you know?
Tell me. That's a good one.
I don't know. I'll just talk to him.
I think another one I'd do would probably be like...
It can be somebody dead too.
I'm trying to think of like some rappers, because I do like creative people that are like-minded, the creative world. Part of like, you know what? I want to talk to like Kanye or like Jay-Z or like those.
I was gonna say Kanye.
Those producers, you know what I mean? That are top dogs and like
DJ Khaled.
I said producer, not DJs, bro.
He's a producer.
Nah, he's just a DJ. I think that's another one I'd use. Like, probably Kanye. Kanye's so creative. No, I don't know, though. I feel like I go with... you know what? Eminem. That's it. Eminem is good, dude. I got to talk to Eminem for a little bit. Pick his brain.
Go, Mini.
You said dead or alive?
Yeah.
I'd pick Jesus.
Oh.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Why?
Why?
Because...
Yeah, you can't
like,
just say
how,
it.
Like, why wouldn't you want to, like, sit and, like... Interview Jesus.
Oh yeah, definitely. Interview?
Yeah, like not interview. But yeah, like interview, like talk and like
Or like might as well like interview Judas and betrayed him or something.
No.
Okay.
No.
Second one for me, probably be John Mayer. Just talk to that dude. See what's up.
I feel like I always think of him as being young, but I think he's old.
He's like 41 years old.
And his voice still sounds young, doesn't it, or no?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has that baby face, too, though.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't look 40.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy. You're starting to see it, though, like his eyes.
He's getting tired. You know, Dave Chappelle would be a good one.
Dude, Dave Chappelle.
I mean, he doesn't like him, but I think he's like...
I think he's hilarious.
He's insane. Can't. Some are crazy, but it's like...
I think Dave Chappelle is like a... How you would see, like, maybe a musical genius. I would consider Dave Chappelle genius. A comedic genius, for sure.
Oh, you know, the one that I thought, actually. I changed all of them. Will Smith.
Will Smith?
Dude, he's so, like, he's so smart and wise and, like...
Yeah.
I don't know. Especially because, like, he always plays those movie scenes. I mean, those movies with, like super, roles. Like... Yeah, those roles with deep meaning and, like, having to play all these characters. Yeah, that's pretty crazy. I think I sacked five of them, but...
I'm just trying to think of my third.
Starbucks CEO?
Come on.
Third one, I'm probably going to be, like, Slash or something.
Guns and Roses.
If you could instantly become an expert in something, what would it be? Like, an instantly expert. You're an expert.
probably expert at something. I think I want to be doing like music producing, like just music producer, like just producing. Yeah, just being able to like come out with like bangers, but like timeless pieces. You know, like the ones that not even that, but like you don't have to do like a radio formula, which is like being out, getting out of the radio formula kind of music song, and then still for it to go viral, because it's still out of the formula. That's crazy right there, bro.
So become DJ Khaled, is that what you're saying?
DJ Long. Mini.
I'm the worst.
Mini didn't look impressed by that.
Maybe finances.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Like rural.
Because, because if you become like an expert in finances, like that solves so many problems. You can do so much. You have so many options now. If you don't worry about finances, and you get your finances in order, all that kind of stuff, then you have the free time to become an expert in like so many different areas because you have time.
Impressive. Well played.
Yeah.
Interesting. I want to become a pro in like a sport, make a lot of money, and then get out.
And then retire.
I probably play like a couple games of football and then I'm out. Oh, no. Name your favorite children's toy. As a kid, what was your favorite toy?
It was, what is it? The red Teletubby?
What?
Yeah, the po. Red... Poe, yeah.
Poe.
Like, I'm still heartbroken, like, what happened to him?
What happened to him?
Did he die or what?
No. My brother threw him out, our window. So, I never saw him, but... That was like my favorite toy. Like,
really?
I love. Yeah.
That's cute, little guy.
Damn, we used to watch that. Teletubbies.
Yeah,
though.
I used to like watching Teletubbies. They're kind of weird though. If you go back to now,
it's so creepy. Weird. Like they never like talked or anything.
How are they? Like, how are they a thing? It's so weird. I guess because they incorporated like class, like schools and stuff like that.
Like little games here and there.
Yeah, but childhood toy. Man, I don't know. I guess it'd be like a trompo. I don't know if you guys know what that is.
A what?
Exactly. A spinner. Before it was a fidget spinner, it was a little... it's like a little... you have a string to it, and then you would... what's it called?
A yo-yo?
No. Like you would tie it around the device, and then you would throw it and pull on the string.
Oh, and it'd come back to you?
Yeah. No, it'd come back to you.
Oh.
It would just spin.
Oh, I don't know.
Man,
it's called the...
Look it up. So it's called something. A saucer?
No. Spinneret. No.
It's actually called a top.
Oh my god,
let
it is.
Let me see if it is.
Yeah, is that, you know what a top is?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
But if I see a picture
of it. It is, bro.
Oh yeah, see, that's why I just pictured in my head.
Yeah, so we used to use this all the time when we were kids. But before they were, they weren't wooden. They were a little bit more advanced.
Yeah.
And they were like plastic ones.
But if you get it from Mexico, they are wooden.
Huh?
If you get them from Mexico,
that's about
wooden.
These right here, bro. Oh,
those are the ones. Yeah, those are pretty sick though. You could do
bro,
tricks.
Really? Dude,
we would do tricks on the string.
Yeah,
make it walk.
And if you're a cool kid, you would have these different heads of the string of the rope, like star designs and butterfly. Dude, I'm sure. Like, I wonder if they sell them on eBay.
Probably. They probably do.
Dude, or Amazon. Those are really fun.
Dude, it's bringing
though.
Me back. Oh. Brother.
Oh, brother.
Oh, Debbie Custard.
Oh, he's good stuff.
Man, for me, it was Woody. The homeboy.
Oh, yeah, you got the little Woody.
Woody. That was the homeboy. That's my favorite movie.
Nah, they used to have a little chicken, too, remember?
Which chicken?
A chicken.
What are you talking about? A little chicken.
Like a yellow ducky chicken with a little hair on top. Remember?
And my dad used to go.
You would throw it on top of the roof.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Dude, and then it will roll back down. Oh, man. I forgot about that.
I threw him under the bus.
All right, that was cool. So, we're just going to get right into it. So, I want to do a couple fun facts just about Costa Rica in itself, just because it has so much importance to do with just how the coffee. Was produced and all that stuff. So, so I can give you guys a little bit more background on what you should be picturing in your head, and then what you could expect from the coffee. So, To get a picture, the U.S. is roughly 180 times larger than Costa Rica. 181 times larger than Costa Rica. Damn. So,
Costa Rica is tiny as heck.
Tiny, tiny, tiny. Even though it is 180 times smaller, it has 200 volcanoes. Around 200 volcanoes.
So the whole thing is just volcanoes.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
Costa Rica is a relatively narrow country, flanked on both sides by oceans. So it's basically like pictured like a sliver of land,
an island,
and then you have ocean on both sides.
Oh man!
So it's like a huge, you know.
It sounds a little scary.
Yeah. It's,
like in the middle of the ocean and 200 volcanoes.
Yep. It has coastlines, obviously, but it still reaches ideal coffee growing elevations. Costa Rica is over 25% of its land. This is really important. Has over 25% of his land protected as either a national park or a wildlife reserve. So a quarter of it, over a quarter of it, is protected by national parks or like a wildlife. This is the largest percentage of territory protected by protected out of any other country in the world. So it has the most percentage of its, you know, obviously it's a lot smaller than a lot of other places, but mm-hmm. still, at the end of the day, it's more than a quarter protected by wildlife reserves and national parks. Mm-hmm. So, little trivia here. What number is Costa Rica on the list for the most coffee being produced?
I'm going to guess.
All right. Sorry. I'm
going to guess nine.
What?
Nine?
Yeah.
You say it again, sorry?
What's Costa Rica? We're on the list for the most coffee produced.
So 1, 2, 3, 4. I think it has to be, because when I think about like robusta coffees, I think about Costa Rica.
Really?
Like mass produced, I think about Costa Rica. That's what
You better be wrong, homie.
Yeah, you better not edit that out.
Yeah,
either.
I know.
No. It's true. Like I was gonna tell you guys that. That when I always think about Costa Rica, I think about like Trader Joe's coffee or Target coffee, like just Costa Rica, big Costa Rica bags.
Oh, okay.
That's what I think about.
Starbucks.
Starbucks. So what I would put them as would be like mass produced, motherfucking carry the 1, 2. I would say like a good solid 7.
That are the 7th largest?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I thought I got it right. Yeah, 7.
Yeah? No. Yeah. They fluctuate between 14th and the 15th.
Oh man,
so they're pretty. So obviously, it's a huge list, but still being 14th, 15th, and having that much coffee in like Trader Joe's, all these places, like it's pretty crazy. Wow. Puts things in perspective. So I got this out of a source in on the internet, so you know it's true.
That's gonna be hard to think for the longest.
No. But I did a cross reference and I looked through a bunch of different sites.
Cool.
So thank you to everybody who wrote those like 10 million years ago. Couple facts. Coffee production in Costa Rica goes back to the year 1779, when the first Arabica crops were brought directly from Ethiopia.
Arabica.
The struggling government saw potential in the innovative crop as soon as they started offering free land to anybody who showed interest in harvesting the plants.
Wow.
So they literally said, like, hey, if anybody is interested in putting the time work,
we'll give you free land.
Yeah, we'll give you the free land.
That's crazy.
It's crazy how a lot of places they saw the potential in
coffee. Like early on.
Mm-hmm.
Early on.
By the year 1829, coffee had become one of its most important sources of revenue for the country. 1829. Costa Rica is the only country in the world where it's actually illegal to produce any type of coffee other than 100% Arabica.
What? Mm-hmm. Why are you laughing at this?
Because I knew that.
That's
why I was like, really? And I looked at George and I'm like,
it's illegal to not. Oh, because
Kova's got to get on their train.
What?
I said Kova's got to get on their train.
Your bruise is some knowledge.
Damn.
Yeah, so it's illegal. It's literally illegal to produce any type of any other type of coffee other than 100% Arabica, which is obviously, as you guys know, the highest quality of coffee beans. A law was passed in 1989 prohibiting the planting of low quality beans, encouraging Costa Rican farmers to pursue true excellence. Damn. So there was literally a law passed like nothing but Arabica can be grown here, which again gives you testament to you know, the way they thought of things. Like that's why I wanted to give you guys those facts about the land. Mm-hmm. About it's about more than a quarter is protected by wildlife and natural preserves. Like you know, that gives you kind of an idea of like how Costa Rica feels about its land mm-hmm. and the people, and like actually having, you know, quality in everything that they do. So a little bit about the altitude there. It's 4,000 to 6,000 feet above sea level. So it's great heights for growing coffee up there. Tasting notes, a lot of them include a brown sugary sweetness, citrus notes, and apricot-like fruity flavors. Have you guys had any Costa Rican coffee or no?
I've only had decaf.
Decaf?
Yeah, we use a Costa Rican coffee for decaf. And compared to other decafs, pretty darn good. And then I don't know why I think about Trader Joe's coffee being Costa Rica. Mm-hmm. I think it's more the packaging.
I think it's like we got that one package last time with like the toucan on it.
That's the one.
Yeah.
A toucan.
Yeah, it's like a toucan.
That's
like
Fruity Loops, bro. That was cereal.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's where I came up with that thought and theory. Because we went to Burlington a long time ago, and that's when I was practicing latte art, so I wanted to look for coffee that I could just waste. And we found this big old bag of like coffee. It was Costa Rican.
Yeah.
With the toucan stem on it. So I think that's where I always thought like
this whole thing. Isn't that funny? Like before, like it would be you're like just looking for any kind of whole bean.
Anything. That was anything.
I don't think I've had it, unless it was one of your lattes that you made with that nasty coffee.
Oh.
No, not nasty because it's nasty, but it was expired. Like, it was past its...
It was like a shelf coffee. Shelf of coffee, so...
I worked at Burlington, so I know how long that stuff stays there. Ugh. That's why I said it.
At where? Burlington?
Yeah.
What's that?
Coke Factory?
Oh, Burlington Coke
Factory. Yeah.
They're replacing that toy store, Toys R Us. I don't know what that has to do with anything, but...
I thought it closed down.
Yeah, Toys R Us, it closed down. Yeah. I think they're going to put a Burlington Coat Factory there.
Oh, they're probably closed on too.
But anyways, Costa Rican grading system includes the following classifications. Strictly high-grown, good hard beans, and medium hard beans. So it kind of depends on the altitude is what changes those things. So the strictly high-grown, strictly hard, grow higher than 1,200 meters. And then it goes down from there, or up from there. So good hard beans between 3,300 and 1,000. 3,300 feet and 3,900 feet. And then the medium hard goes down to, if you do, what is meters to feet?
12 meters, 12 feet equals.
Sorry, I'm not good at measurements.
Sorry, I didn't go to college.
500 meters to feet is 1,640 feet.
Oh.
So still relatively high. Again, testament to their coffee and the quality that they produce out of there. So I wanted to talk about a couple of regions just because they are so famous. This one I wanted to focus more on the coffee itself, just because there's so much to go through it. One of the regions is Tarrazu region. Tarrazu produces some of the best Costa Rican coffee around. On a consistent basis, the capital of San Marcos is around 1,350 meters above sea level, but the surrounding mountains go up to 1,700, allowing for very high altitudes and the development of the very best coffees. This region is located in the country's interior mountains with a minimum altitude of 1,200 meters, and the best coffees from this area are known to be relatively heavy-bodied, exhibiting a complex aroma. Nearly all coffees from this region are strictly high-grown. So, meaning like... top of the food chain.
Everything's the best.
I was telling these guys, but for you guys at home, I looked up a bag from Starbucks because they have one of their reserves. Like, it's from there. They get the beans from there. And it was $40 for an 8-ounce bag.
Oh, my goodness.
8 ounce.
For an 8-ounce?
Dang.
Normal bags are, like, 16 most of the time. 16 or 12, sometimes the smaller ones. This one's 8 ounces, and it was $40.
And it's from Starbucks, too? And it's so expensive.
I'm curious to try it now.
I know.
It's crazy. So if anybody wants to donate us, expensive as heck.
And sponsor us.
$40 for Costa Rican coffee.
For 8 ounces of Costa Rican coffee.
Like 2 cups?
That's crazy.
2 cups?
I want to try it though.
No, I wanted to ask this question. So what would be the most that you guys would ever pay for coffee? For one cup of coffee?
For one
Let's cup. Say one latte. What is the most you'd pay?
$25.
$25?
For one cup of coffee.
Yeah. If it's, like, really good and, like, they're saying all this stuff about it, I'd pay $25.
A latte, though.
But, like, exactly 25. It was, like, 25. Or maybe, yeah, maybe something. A pour over. Let's pour do a pour over. Yeah. Let's
do a pour over. Yeah. Like, because, yeah, because that one has to be expensive. Bill, yeah. Too. Pour over. Well, last time you paid $10 for a pour over. We'll get into that one a little bit. Mm-hmm. But the most that I would pay, I think $20 sounds. Because 25 is like, okay, how good can you, I mean, I don't know, how much better could you make a coffee? I would do $20 just because we're on a budget right now.
I'll stick to 25.
You stick to 25?
Yeah.
That's probably around the same thing. Yeah, I'll probably do like 25.
25? Mm-hmm. Well, what's the most expensive you purchased, you bought?
Pour over, probably like $8. Cause I think it was at James.
James? Because I think we had a Bird Rock.
Yeah, the other day, and it was like nine something. Like oh, ten, it came out to like $10.
One pour over.
One pour over.
And it was a Gucci. No. Gucci was around $10 too, though.
At yeah.
Public Square. I think. It was a really fruity cup.
It wasn't Ethiopian, though, but it was so good.
It was good.
I wish I would have taken a picture.
$10? Oh, that's a lot. But
do you remember what it was?
I forget.
No, I forgot the name, but it was like something you don't see often. Mm. But it was so good that we actually did spend it because we got two pour overs that day. Like we drank it
and we went back
and got another one.
Do you remember what region or no?
Oh, I can't even tell you. But it's crazy because like the same week or the same day or a couple of nights.
Same week, a couple of nights.
Sorry. They said, oh, they charged me like $10 at this coffee shop, Bird Rock. And I think it was the same one because we had the same one. And they're complaining about the price and it's like, it's ridiculous. Yeah. Like he said that he ordered the coffee. And then he turned away because he had like a phone call. And when he came back to pay, they were like, oh, it's $10. He's like, what the heck did I order? Yeah. And he's like, that was expensive as heck. Because ours is like $3.77 for pour-over. But then
I was going to say, does Bird Rock give the, I haven't done a pour-over in Bird Rock. Do they give the whole Chemex to you guys or no?
Just a mug.
Just a mug? Yeah.
But what they were saying, I think what it is or what we're trying to say, explain to them was that because they're doing such like, they're looking for like the best of the best coffees that it's hard to pass that over to the consumer. But they're like, I think it's worth a cup of coffee, but maybe to like a regular person, they won't see the value in it. Mm. So I think that's where it's kind of hard to like sell that to somebody that doesn't really understand the coffee as much.
It's always like the.
Who's looking for the?
I'm looking for the coffee. That's why.
It's always like the hard question, right? Like you wanna give like quality, top quality to people.
Yeah.
But then like you don't want to scare them away so that they never want to try it, you know.
Where it's too expensive, yeah.
Put it.
No.
Something like you found.
I'm like, it's because I keep Minnie's looking.
For the
coffee. The coffee. It was good, though. It was just a little.
You said it was fruity?
Yeah.
It's fruity.
So you remember what region?
Like, blueberry. Like, when I drank it, like, I felt like I was just, like, drinking, like, blueberries. What was it?
I just remember, like, a G and a J.
It was, like, from a place I don't see very often.
Yeah. But I think. Also, like another one that it reminded me of was Public Square Coffee, because they had was it an Onyx coffee? Or no, it was a steady state. It was a steady state coffee, I think most likely, and it was like a Gucci something coffee, you know, like those really fruity ones, and that one was like one of the expensive ones, like their premium whatever, and it was really good. That was crazy. I think I posted it on Instagram as well.
Yeah, I remember that one.
On Coffee Crew.
I think one of the best ones I had was that Chiapas one from Ensenada.
Oh, that one was good.
I didn't taste that one.
Yeah, that was crazy good.
Really?
Chiapas?
Was it Chiapas?
Wait, from when?
Ensenada.
Oh, when you went over there. Oh, okay. Yeah. That one was really good.
It was Chiapas. Moving on to the next region. Costa Rica Monte Crisol coffee. That's another one you'll see all over the place. One of Costa Rica's best coffees is Costa Rica Monte Crisol, grown in country's West Central Valley, Monte Cristo coffee is known for its sweetness, silky body, and fruity brightness. The brewed coffee also exhibits top notes of blueberry and has a buttery finish. Buttery. Next one. Costa Rica. This is the last one. Costa Rica Alajuela coffee. Alajuela is located towards the northern central region of Costa Rica and is known for its steep slopes with altitudes ranging from 2,600 meters. The majority of the coffee is grown and harvested from 1,200 to 1,600 meters, and it's known for its apple and apricot flavors. Caturra and Catuai are the primary varietals.
You know what I like? Learning about these coffee, different coffee origins, because you know how like everything is learned, like everything that, like you tend to like things that you're surrounded with or surrounded by, kind of thing, you know. So like,
yeah,
like even like the annotations that certain things have because of what you've been told or what you've thought them to be without trying them. I think that Costa Rica has been one of those coffees that. And maybe because I always have them in decaf at my job, because I think we have them as decaf. That's the one we use. It's a really good decaf coffee. But I'm saying, like you know how the Africans had coffee, have a really good, what is it, like street cred?
Reputation.
So I was trying to think formal, normal words. They have a really good reputation. And I was learning about Mexico, and it's like, man, it's so good. But then, like, once Costa Rica, to me, at least to me, I've always had, like, a negative connotation to it. Where it's, like, Costa Rican is, partly because of when I bought that first bag. And ever since then, like, that, like whenever like I see.
Negative stigma.
Yeah. In your head. And whenever I see, like, a palm tree coffee bag, I think about Costa Rica. And I'm like, oh, it's probably, like, greasy and burnt and oily. And so, but now, like, reading this, like, man, like, it gives me a different outlook on that, on the coffee to try it out and taste it.
I think too, just like the mindset that they have of like even passing a freaking law that says that like you can't raise anything that's not Arabica, like I think that tells you right there what their stand on excellence with coffee is, you know, and how much they're not willing to tolerate. And a lot of it also comes, I didn't want to write too much about this because it's kind of a little bit off topic, but a big factor that why they also do that is because you know, the more you start learning about it is that obviously with good crops and doing things the right way, you get good soil, right? And then you have good soil that you can then turn around and keep getting crops on it. If you're using bad coffee, little by little, you're destroying that soil. So, you know, I didn't read too much on it, but that's just another thing that you guys out there can read on. That they're so conscious about the earth and just very
well, the reserve and all that.
Nature Costa Rica, driven.
Excuse my ignorant question, but are they are they like third world country?
Let's look it up. I don't think so.
Like, is it more like touristy? Is it a lot of places to? Because I know it's like a vacation home, right? Costa Rica, like a vacation kind of place.
I feel like it's like a tourist place, Costa Rica.
Tourist.
I don't think so. Costa Rica is considered to be one of the safest countries in Central America.
Excuse me.
But exotic as it is, Costa Rica is still a third world country.
I told you guys, suckers.
Meaning the poor far outnumber the middle class and rich.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
But it's still one of the safest.
It's because, like, every single touristy place is a third world country. I'm just saying, now that's just a big statement, but
no, but
down that way, yes, like the Philippines, all those Thailand, all those cheap vacation places people think of, like, oh yeah, very affordable and stuff, because you're considered by third world country people, man. Come on,
what makes a third world country?
The poverty rate.
The world is a phrase frequently used to describe a developing nation. The first world described countries whose views align with NATO and capitalism. And then the second world referred to countries that supported communism and Soviet Union.
Interesting.
So then third would be, obviously, the developing ones that are still coming up and have a lot of poor people still, I guess.
I would like to look into the next, for me, like a different future episode on like Hawaii and all that stuff. I think just to like to break these stigmas that I have.
I was going to say, when you're talking about stigmas, I always have them with Hawaii.
Yeah.
Like Kona.
Yeah, me too.
But it's like that's supposed to be like one of the best coffee.
It is.
And then like, and
but
like,
I feel like that's said by people that don't know coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think also it has to do with like, maybe some people have used it in a way where like they're just trying to crank out numbers.
Yeah.
And like maybe not did it justice. Yeah. You know, like when you roast, like let's say you roast something super crappy and then now you give it to somebody and you're like, dang.
Negative, yeah.
Yeah. Experience sucks. Yeah. But you know, it's maybe not the beans, maybe the roast. But anyways, but yeah, that's a stigma I've had for like Hawaii and Kona coffee.
It's good when people say about the whole vacation, like once they come back, they're like, oh, I just went to Hawaii, had some delicious coffee. I never believe them. You know, when we have like tourists, like oh yeah, I just came back from Costa Rica. I'm like, did you though? Like, is it good?
Or like, it's like your only option, so you got used to it, kind of.
Or you just like don't know any better. Like, yeah, not that I know what's good or bad, but I'm just saying like. I don't know. I can't trust you when I see what you're putting into your coffee. I'm like, I'm sorry, you're not a reliable source. Bro, I had some sick
Costa Rica. Can I have some creamer?
Extra creamers. Oh,
man. So one of the topics I wanted to hit on really quick is there bird friendly in Costa Rica? It's pretty cool.
Bird friendly.
Coffee from Costa Rica may be available as certified bird friendly, which has additional requirements for farms to have a certain coverage and variety of taller trees and words in which birds can nest.
So they give it to birds?
No, well, so they basically what it is that you can have the certification that says that you're bird friendly, because, you know, again, when it comes to having farms and all these things, like at the end of the day, it takes land. And what do you have to do with land? You have to tear it down or whatever you have to do, right? But if you can have your coffee and still cater to birds and have them be free like they're supposed to be, you can get this bird friendly certification.
And don't like
bless you.
Thank you. And don't birds have like don't they eat all the seeds? Maybe that's why you're saying bird friendly.
No, I think they just don't like kill birds.
Well,
right? They don't.
Well, that because if you think about it, right? If you get rid of all the trees to put your farm,
I see.
You're getting rid of getting rid of a bunch of birds.
Yeah.
But if you make a point or go the extra mile,
like go around it,
extra yard,
extra tree,
the extra foot to go to get some birds, then so you get that bird friendly Costa Rica coffee.
That's cool. So that. I'm very excited. I would like to go visit Costa
Rica. I know. They seem like making it illegal to make like Robusta coffee. That's crazy.
I want to try now.
A lack of taller trees to shade coffee means that birds are left without safe nesting grounds and biodiversity is impacted. So it means that, like, obviously, you know, with coffee farms and all these things, if you have a lack of taller trees, right, that means that you don't have any birds nesting that can go up there. So I wanted to touch on a really cool thing in Costa Rica that they have, a brewing method. I don't know if you guys ever heard about this. So, it's true that the secret is out on Costa Rica coffee, but what people don't know is about how Costa Ricans make it. So I thought it was something cool to hit on because we talked about Vietnamese and, coffee and how Vietnamese people, you know, brew it. They have their own method. Mexicans have like cafe de olla, right? Yeah, everybody has like their own little thing, right? So Costa Ricans, right? Costa Ricans, they use an apparatus called a chorreador or a rustic drip coffee maker. A chorreador, so for those of you who don't know Spanish, a chorreador can literally translate to like a dripping mechanism or like something dripping, which is a rustic drip coffee maker. So it consists obviously of a filter and a way to pour water in. That's literally what it is. And I'll show you guys some pictures right now. But basically, this is what you need to make it. I got this off online. To make coffee the Tico way, Tico is what they call Costa Ricans.
Costa Rica.
Tico.
A
Tico.
Ah, I like that.
Cool.
That's cute.
You only need three items: the chorreador, a wood stand on which it holds the cloth filter,
okay,
where you put the coffee grounds.
Let me see if I can picture it before you show me
the picture. The bolsa, which is a little bag, and they're like cotton bags, like the little filter. It's like cotton, and it's held by it's held open by a wire rim and a handle that is used as a filter, and a cup or a pitcher for a coffee placed below, like you would with a Chemex or whatever. So basically, you just place the coffee in the bag, you pour hot water over it, and then it seeps through the coffee grounds, obviously, and then the water comes out to the bottom.
Interesting.
Into the cup. So I don't know what you guys are thinking, but basically, you can kind of imagine like a basketball hoop, Like, that's what it and then you have the net, right? And then you put the grounds in, and then you put the water through, and then you can control how much water, you know, you want to pour in and all that stuff. So I'm going to show you guys a little picture.
Oh, there that is. Looks, that looks awesome. Yeah.
And that what's cool is that, like,
dude,
it's written. I'm pretty sure, like, they just reuse that every time. Yeah. So.
Dude, I want that just because it's so, dude, like, homebrew-y.
As soon as I saw this, I looked it up on Amazon. You can get it for... They have cool ones. I mean, you can probably make one yourself.
But yeah, but no leaves in Costa Rica. Not again.
This one's $70 on Amazon. And that this one's cool because it folds up, which is even cooler. You can take it places.
No, the wooden one was nice.
Yeah, so you can fold it up.
Old school one.
So you take the bag out.
That is crazy.
That's crazy.
And then you can fold it in.
I wonder how it tastes, though, because that's like a cloth filter, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Manual drip coffee maker portable for easy coffee hand drip through cloth. Coffee sock filter.
Coffee sock.
Oh, that's what they call it, the sock. Or like, no, well, they don't call it, but like, that's what kind of like
people call it.
Yeah.
That is so cool. Wow, I've never seen that brew method.
Dude, look at
that. Look how cool they look, though.
Imagine you walk into a coffee shop and that's how they're making your coffee.
In a sock?
I'd be like, okay.
Coffee in the sock.
Dude, I saw a couple of videos of people making like their homemade ones. Obviously, it's super simple, but man, these are cool. Look at this thing.
They're so cool and so practical.
And like, what's easier than literally doing that? Mm-hmm. You already have, you know, just put the coffee ground. I mean, it's basically the same thing.
It's as definitely not what I pictured. I was picturing like a big pot, like a witch pot, and like a, like some logs of
fire. I was thinking like, you know, the thing like the, like people do laundry with, like the big metal thing,
what
the like
hell?
One of those with like a whole like.
A whole like, water system.
Yeah, like I was thinking a big old process, not anything like that.
Oh man,
that brew method looks sick though.
Huh?
That brew method looks sick. I think I might want to look into buying
interesting.
One of those.
I think that was some like one we should definitely try out. Like,
dude, we should. We
like,
should
what, come back. What do you think? What do you think the cloth would do to the coffee?
I was thinking.
That's what I was trying to think of. Like, would it?
Well, how would it?
It looks thick. That's what I'm saying. It's like.
A thick sock.
In the picture I just saw, it's like it looks really thick.
Well, I would assume you can't do a fine grind because it will go right through the sock. You gotta find a better word for that thing, man. The filter. So I think I would assume that you have to do like a coarser grind, maybe. Maybe in shop. Are you young? No, I think you have to do like a coarse. I don't know. Unless it's a really like thick where it won't. Go through.
How long do you think it takes for like the it to like fully?
Yeah, I was thinking like, what is the difference that it would make? Like in the time that you'd have to wait between like bloom and like bloom. You know, and all these time. I don't know. I would be interested to try it out.
Next time we'll just do. What if we do a podcast like trying different brew methods like from around the world?
Yeah, we'll do that for sure. If you guys know about any other brew methods, let us know.
Mm-hmm. That'd be sick.
Yeah,
like a Japanese style.
Japanese type. It's not like that's first thing that I thought of when I saw that brew method. I was like, man, that's a like another testament to them, like how much they care about the earth. Mm-hmm. It's freaking cloth, like it's not even paper. It's you know what I mean. It's
reusable and all that. It's like, that's crazy.
It's like it takes me back to like our roots. Like, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. Like diapers, like back in the day, they had these cloths, and like they would use like reuse and wash it. Yeah, and like that was
some people use them still.
Yeah,
some
people still
do.
Yeah,
but they do it to be cool.
Yeah, to be
why do it to be hipsters,
to be a minimalist.
Nah, props to you guys, but
hell nah,
just use regular diapers, homie.
That grosses me out.
Yeah,
anyway, it's not,
but anyways, I took coffee. Yeah, it makes me think like, dang, again, like you know, it's the whole spirit of the natural, you know, reserves, like the wildlife, all these things that they're preserving. And like, I wonder how much Costa Rica has saved like the earth, like even as small as they are, like I wonder how much of an impact they've made. Some, you know, I'm sure it's huge.
Well, even like when you think about Costa Rica, how green they are, and like is it a rainforest? You know, they have to have rainforest, right?
Yeah, they have the toucan.
Let me see.
Toucan.
Oh, I do. Look how beautiful it is.
Fruit Loops come out of there.
Like green and waterfalls.
I really want to go to Costa Rica.
It's always those places with like volcanoes that are the prettiest.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's all the, it's like nature at its peak. That's crazy. And I'm sure the place is perfect for coffee. It has to be. It's crazy. It's like a little hammock made of trees.
Yeah.
Might have to do a trip to Costa Rica and explore the toucans.
Is there another guy, another coffee you guys have a stigma about? Because I feel like this one was crazy reading about it. Like, it just destroyed that stigma that I had with it.
It just, like, hyped it up.
Mm-hmm.
Kona Coffee.
Didn't we go to a Kona Coffee place in Bonita? The place where you went, like, where they'll make your drink. Like,
that's how not
you
Kona, want. Though.
Yeah, it is. I think so.
Oh. Yeah, but it wasn't good, remember?
Yeah. No, it was just super awkward. And, like,
oh, yeah,
they set themselves up, like, for...
It's because they do. No, it's for, yeah. for of the episode. But okay, I guess I'll say it. So what they do is they let you pick your dose of espresso for. It's like very like
catered, like
build your own coffee kind of thing. So it was just a weird experience because there were some bad customers that kind of just ruined it for us.
Not only that, but like they'll have you taste it, and if you don't like it, like they'll give it back. Oh, can you add some more of this? Like Starbucks on another level.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's crazy.
It's cool and crazy sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so Hawaiian for sure.
I don't think I have one. I think before I got into coffee, like Kenya coffee, I just like automatically assumed it was like super like...
Yeah.
Like, what is it like?
From Kenya?
Yeah. Like before I got into coffee, I think it was because like the whole Starbucks, like I would get it and it would taste like super like burnt. So I always thought like it was a Kenya coffee that... did that, but no.
But it's really good.
Yeah, no, I love it.
The other one that I would say would be like Indonesia coffee. I heard that China is like in the rise with their coffee.
Really?
I would say Indonesia though. It's like supposed to be like more earthy, which I did actually try some Indonesian coffee. Maybe I just gotta expand more.
What's it good?
I was gonna say the same thing though. I was gonna say Asian countries.
Asian.
Never. I don't know, maybe just, again, I'm just ignorant about it.
Dude, I just remembered. I wish I would have taken him. A customer brought in coffee that was roasted in Syria.
Hmm.
I think it's in Syria.
Roasted or?
Yeah.
All roasted?
Yeah, I was thinking roasted, maybe not harvested, but it was interesting. It was like the packaging was all in their language and it smelled like fruity as heck, dude. I wish I would have taken some, but they said it was from somebody else.
Oh. Where did they get it from?
I think they brought him from over there.
Oh, damn.
But yeah, it just... Like, I would like to try out different countries, like more towards that side, like Middle East, Asia. Yeah.
I think that's something cool that about, you know, this that we're doing is, like, we're breaking, like, these stigmatism. Just because we are sometimes just ignorant about it.
And I think, like, learning about this, like, different coffee, now it makes me, like, more open to want to try it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now if I see... a Costa Rican coffee and be like, oh, I want to try it. Like, same thing when we learned about, when we learned about all the coffees, I just want to start trying those more and, like, venture out, like, from my same, like, Ethiopian coffee.
Yeah, Caribinos are good. Now let's see what else.
I want to try new things.
Yeah, I think going back to what we mentioned a couple episodes ago, saying that going at it a different route, like, don't expect fruitiness. Like, don't expect crazy, like, fruit bomb on this kind of coffee, like, or don't expect a crazy, like, don't always expect Ethiopia taste. I say Ethiopia because a lot of people, it's not just like us that really enjoy it. It's like a lot of people say Colenso Ethiopia is my favorite coffee.
Mm.
My favorite coffee because I think it's the washes, the unwashed are the ones that are still fruity because they still have the fruit around it, right? I think
natural process, which is they don't wash and they just let them ferment. But they also have more like of an alcohol taste to it, like a wine, because it is fermented.
Those are the ones that people are always like, oh, those are really good, those are my favorite.
The things that I have read about it though, especially that with roasting and stuff, sometimes it's very inconsistent because this cherry is not going to ferment the same as this one right here. 100%. So some people don't even like to experiment with natural process because it is a little bit more inconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
But that would be a cool experience to do, like, you know, try them out like different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is true. I've read a couple of things where like some people do see where like they taste the coffee from, like, this is natural, and both of them are natural, and both of them from the same region, but they taste a little bit different. So that'd be, like, an interesting thing that we could try it out. And the reason I brought that up is because I wanted to ask you guys that, do you guys sometimes feel like maybe you're bound by certain things that you should be expecting because you've read or heard about a coffee? Like, let's say for Colombia, right? Somebody, oh, you know, it's supposed to be chocolate, blah, blah, blah. And when you go to taste it, do you guys, like, instantly look for it? Or do you let it just, like, kind of simmer in your mouth and see what you get it?
I think I just let it, like, I see what I get from it. Like, I don't try to put any, like, expectations.
Mm.
Yeah, I think that's good. I think, especially because I try to drink a cup of black coffee a day at work, especially because now I'm trying to really dive more into, like, coffee profiles. So now I've made it, like, a thing in my head, like a mission. Where I'm like, okay, let me see for what it is. Like, this is what the profile of this coffee is meant to taste like. This. Do I get those tastes? Like, okay, cool. Then it's a good roast. It's a good cup.
So I feel a lot of times we do that, and we, like, see it through a filter that we're like, oh, this is supposed to be tasting this certain way, so this is what I should be expecting, versus just letting the coffee, like, tell you on its own.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then later on, you know, coming back and reading the bag and maybe see, like, one note, you should be, then you, like, kind of see them. But I always think about that because there is some coffees, like, again, let's say we're talking about Kona coffee or Hawaii, right? If I were to taste it, I could already have, like, this negative stigmatism in my head. So I'm not really open to it. So maybe that's something that I got to be working a little bit more on, because then I start expecting things out of certain coffees.
Yeah, it's like a false expectation, you know? you're not going to get with.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously Ethiopia is going to be a certain way, and then Colombia, whatever. But I think that's something that's always good to have.
Just like a side note on that, because even with, like, Darling in coffee, I think that plays again a role in the coffee shop, and back to the barista, that... like, for example, for us, if we're dialing in an espresso and the notes say it should be, let's say like a peach flavor, then it's supposed to have some of lime, whatever, just like some random notes, right? And then let's say you only get two of those notes. Then as a barista, you should adjust the dose or to adjust whatever you like, the grind setting, to bring out more of those peach flavors, because it means that you're only getting, like, you're only tapping into these notes. And to get the full balance, the full profile, you need to dial accordingly to bring out the other ones. Or, like, it's supposed to be a chocolatey thing, I'm tasting, like, the citrus part of the notes, but the baker chocolate is not popping up. So then as a barista, you should be able to, like, bring that part of it out, and then really just give.
Damn, that's a cool, that's cool, right? That's a cool topic to talk about, because that's like a That's like literally knowing how to bring something out of the coffee.
Or coffee.
Mm-hmm. You know, like, bringing it out. Like, it's there.
Yeah.
You just got to find a way to dig through it, and then, like, you know, be able to, so that other people can taste it too.
It's the same with roasting, right?
Yeah, same thing. Same exact thing. I want to end with this question.
Yeah.
If you guys had to drink from one origin for the rest of your life, what would it be?
One origin. Let me think. Just because of Mexico pride, I'll say Mexican pride. I want to say Mexico. But, damn, I would say Kenya. It's been my favorite for the majority of the year.
Ethiopia.
It's not basic.
I know.
We just talked about Ethiopia.
I know.
No, that's good.
That's good. I mean, it's good coffee at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Why Ethiopia?
I think it's like another thing I need to start working on is, like, venturing out, because it's like all I drink.
Ethiopia?
Yeah. And no, randomly, like, I'll switch it up, and if I get a pour over, I'll, like, pick something else. But, like, I know, like, so far, every time I get, like, an Ethiopian pour over, it's always good. And, like, anytime I've changed. Which, no, it's not always good. It's like, those are the notes, like, I'm drawn to. Yeah, that I'm drawn to. So, like, when I taste another coffee and I don't know those notes, then I'm automatically like, oh, I don't like this. But I probably would if I tried it more.
Mm-hmm. It's like, because it's not a, it's like a, it's not that it's strange, but it's like going into the unknown, mm-hmm. and you feel like defensive already, like,
yeah, like,
you know what I mean, like, oh, I don't know, like, this is not
do
home.
I like this, yeah,
interesting.
I think that's crazy though, because when you drink like those kind of coffees, you go, oh my gosh, this is so good. But then why don't you say that for other cups of coffee?
Yeah.
It doesn't mean, you know what I mean? Like, just because it doesn't match, like how you were saying, certain profiles that you tend to like a lot. I don't know. It's just kind of like, I think we should just thrive to like open up our minds and our palates and expose it and try to understand it, you know, kind of thing. I don't know.
I think we should start doing cuppings. Yeah. Like all three of us.
That'd be cool.
For me, it would be... it's Colombia.
Colombia, really?
Colombian coffee is super good. That one always hits the spot for me.
You should go to Yupao. Shameless sponsor, real quick.
What's that?
It's I believe it's by City Heights or somewhere up over there. I met a guy at a coffee brewing fundamentals class in Barlovan, and he opened up his coffee shop recently. He's like a big Colombian guy, and his coffee shop is basically like Colombia. I think they only use Colombian roast, and they have a big like mural of a Colombian farmer. I think you said I'm born to go.
I've been learning so much about it just because that's what I've been using to roast most of the stuff here at home. That's right. So that's the one I've been learning the most about, and I don't know, that's the one that always tastes so good to me. Interesting. But anyways, that's our ending note.
Thank you guys so much for listening. We appreciate y'all. This was an educational one. Definitely, we learned so much, and I think there's just part of Coffee Crew is you want to bring some sort of value, educational value to you guys, and being able to learn about the coffees together, that we're all in the same boat in a way, you know, just trying to learn about what coffees we like, what coffees we don't like, more about understanding the origins and what they're about and why they do things the way they do, why do they taste the way they taste. And I hope you guys have learned something at least today. So again, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Hope you guys have a great Wednesday. Do you guys announce anything?
Great week.
Hope you guys have a great week as well. And see you guys later. See you guys next week. Always let us know what you guys, any feedback, any topics you guys want us to cover. And we'd be more than happy to do so. Thank you guys so much. This is Lalo.
This is George.
This is Minnie.
Peace out.
Thank you, homies. Later.
Bye.